It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest and best 60 minutes of your day. The Jason Wilde, Tim Van Voren, and Rain Man Homer Hour. We start with Rain Man. How many do we have left? We don't have many.
You've got 3 weeks left, two after today.
And whoever has the most of their 15 questions right now, we have a tie at 7.
Four-way tie.
Four-way tie. We'll win a Cousin Subs for a year worth about $300 in the past couple events that we've had. We have had to have a tiebreaker, and that would be the same this time if no one does better than 7. We have today the 11th, we have the 18th, and then we have a final performance on the 25th for Rain Man. Caller 5. Caller 5, 1-800-990-3776. Caller 5. And you will be a contestant in Rain Man. It's brought to you, obviously, by Cousin Subs. They're nice enough to give us the Cousin Subs for a year if you are the winner. And even if you stink, and someone did, they got an offer. 0 for $15. And they still, like today's contestant, get a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. And our other great partner would be Saganiac Planning. Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. Once I figured out that it should be more than that because they've been doing it well for over 50 years. That's how they can make the complicated about employee benefits so easy. You do it well for over 50 years, I think you got it figured out. So, Saganiac Planning, now a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service, and doing it well for over 50 years. Phone number, just remember, 783. That's it. 262-783. Roger Maris, Roger Maris, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
Pebble does that every week, never even flinches at all. And again, need caller number 5. Caller number 5. Later on the show, we'll have Jason Wilde, and we'll also have Tim Van Voren to discuss the Green Bay Packers. I don't know how quickly or what's expected as far as Jair Alexander signing with another team. If he was in the process or close to somebody, you would think the announcement would come pretty quickly. Rain Man, 15 questions, as many as possible. Right now, the leader is 7. Andy in West Bend. Andy, you're on 94.5 ESPN. My memory is not real good, but it seems like you competed recently. Did you?
Not too long ago. I got 5, and you gave me 6 on a bonus after the buzzer.
Yeah, and it didn't make. I did that because I'm really not that nice, and it didn't make any difference because 7 was the high. We have 15 questions. Right. You obviously know how it's played. The first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. They have been such a great supporter of Marquette sports. They get a Marquette question. Again, about Marquette, question number 1. The other 14, random. Any questions or comments before you start?
Nope.
All right. 15 questions, 2 minutes. Again, automatically, Andy wins a $25 gift card, and maybe he'll become the leader for Cousin Subs for a year. 3, 2, 1, go. Since Al McGuire, the only Marquette coach to get Marquette to Sweet 16, Sweet 16 Elite 8 in 3 straight years.
Buzz Williams.
Correct. Tuesday in Nashville, what country beat the U.S. men's soccer team 4-0?
Portugal.
Incorrect. With what pick was Tyrese Halliburton taken in the 2020 NBA draft?
17.
Incorrect. Oshkosh North and Halliburton beat what local team to win the WIAA Division I basketball title in 2018?
Milwaukee, Washington.
Incorrect. SGA of Oklahoma City was what overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft?
Number 3.
Incorrect. What player did the Bucks take 6 picks later after SGA in the 2018 NBA draft? He's no longer with the team.
Oh, my gosh. Pass.
Who was the starting left tackle for the Packers last season?
Tom.
Incorrect. Where did the linebacker Edgerrin Cooper play college football? I couldn't hear it. Did you hear it? I lost you.
Alabama.
Incorrect. What was the score in the Packers' playoff loss to Philadelphia?
24-16.
Incorrect. Who had a higher quarterback rating last year, Jordan Love or Malik Willis?
Malik Willis.
Correct. How many regular season interceptions last year from Xavier McKinney?
7.
Incorrect. Who scored a touchdown in the Packers' playoff loss to Philly? I lost it. I couldn't hear you. We're losing him? This is not going well. Have we lost him? How many interceptions did Jordan Love throw in the playoff loss to Philadelphia? Did we lose him? I think. We haven't had that happen before.
We have not, no.
Is Andy still there?
I can hear you. You just can't hear me.
Oh. All right, let's see. I got one. I got two.
I have two as well.
All right, so if we can hear you better now, let's see how you do. Pebble can help you. Who scored a touchdown in the Packers' playoff loss to Philly?
Josh Jacobs.
That's correct. Andy, you go first. How many interceptions did Jordan Love throw in the playoff loss to Philly? Andy?
3.
That's correct.
That's right.
NBA playoff career points. Who has more, Jimmy Butler or Bill Russell?
Jimmy Butler.
What do you say, Andy?
Bill Russell.
Jimmy Butler by about 100. NBA playoff career points. Who has more, Charles Barkley or Giannis?
Barkley.
Yes. You say Barkley?
I say Giannis.
The correct answer is Barkley by about 600. All right. How many regular season interceptions last year for Xavier McKinney?
8.
8 is correct.
What was the score?
You were close. Don't get anything for close, though. What was the score in the Packers' playoff loss to Philly?
22-10.
That is correct. Where did Edgerrin Cooper play college football?
He was an Aggie, Texas A&M.
You got it. Who was the starting left tackle for the Packers last season? Andy, this was bad.
He went to Penn State, Rasheed Walker.
That it was. This is a great question. SGA, Oklahoma City, was what overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft?
11th?
11th. By the way, what number was Tyrese Halliburton?
He was 18th, I think.
12th. And he beat what local team to win a state
championship? Central?
Brookfield East.
Oh, East.
Nicely done. SGA was 11. Tyrese Halliburton was 12. It's amazing how little people know about when they were drafted, et cetera. You should be proud that, Andy, that you didn't know. Tuesday in Nashville, what country beat the U.S. men's soccer team? 4-0.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Switzerland. Like, the thought this may be the worst U.S. men's soccer team when they play in the World Cup. What is it, next year, I think, and the U.S. is hosting it? I don't know that much about soccer, so I could be wrong, but I don't care. All right, now, so we had SGA was the 11th pick in the 2018. The Bucks had the 17th pick, and who did they take? He's no longer on the team.
Dante DiVincenzo?
Dante DiVincenzo, who played, Villanova. So Andy, I it was not one of your better performances, but it didn't matter because the phone went bad and you couldn't have gotten to 8 anyway. So we're down to 2.
Into a park to get off of the road, and I had to pay to get in, so I turned around and went down by the lake, and I lost you, Homer.
Excellent explanation. We don't really care, and it doesn't change anything, but it was remotely interesting, so I'll give you a pass on that. Thanks for playing, Andy.
Thank you.
You bet. I am disappointed in that in the entire discussion. I did not have one Jair Alexander and probably should have done that, or Terrell Buckley. And you have heard everything famous about Terrell Buckley that is kind of famous. Of all that I've said, what do you think is the most amazing thing that he has done?
His total interceptions has got to be.
Yeah, 50. No, I think it is that he's the youngest ever to have a punt return in an NFL game, and he did it in his first game with the Packers, and I'd forgotten he only signed like 3 days earlier.
Yeah, he mentioned that yesterday.
He was on a
show.
Cruise. Yep. I didn't know that. So, still. And, again, Ron Wolf, I can't use the quote that he gave Cliff Kristol as to why he drafted Terrell Buckley instead of Troy Vincent. He thought that he had a little pizzazz that would change the locker room for the Packers, and he was wrong because while they tried to make Terrell Buckley into the next Deion Sanders, they're just simply two entirely different people. And if I was to talk to Ron Wolf, I'd ask him, if you'd done any research, I think you would have discovered that while he was presented as Deion Sanders-like, he's just simply not that way. And also, while he was good, he was also not nearly as good. And yes, I don't know that Terrell Buckley would agree with that because I don't know how many interceptions Troy Vincent had and if he won a Super Bowl. I don't think he did. As to whether or not the Packers would have been better taking Troy Vincent. After 3 years, they got rid of Terrell Buckley and drafted Craig Newsome, who was the starting quarterback on their Super Bowl winning team. All right, so it's still our four-way tie with seven, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, Troy Vincent had 47 career interceptions, and he did not win a Super Bowl.
47?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. Did he, how many, he didn't play for six teams. How many teams are you looking at?
He played for four.
Played for four. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Dolphins, Eagles, Bills, and the Washington Commanders / Redskins.
So, yeah, did he, 47. 47's impressive. The maybe, certainly one of, if not the greatest Packer cornerback, Herb Adderley, had 48 interceptions. He had seven for a touchdown. Terrell Buckley had six. I don't know how many interceptions for a touchdown Troy Vincent had. But I think next time, even though I know I won't necessarily agree. So would the Packers have been better off taking Troy Vincent than you? I don't know what T-Buck would say, because if the team gets rid of you in 3 years, they clearly didn't think much of you. Jason Wilde is on assignment at the present.
Yeah, he will join us at 5:20, he said.
At 5:20, all right. Then we'll take a break, take care of some business, and then get on to Jason Wilde, and then we will have Tim Van Vorn in this always busy. But of note, Rain Man remains a four-way tie with seven.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
This is, without a doubt, Duke Tomato, though I do not know if it's Duke Tomato and the Power Trio, or as I knew him, Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs. Sounds more like the Power Trio. Seemed like at one time we did play Brett Favre as an Alien, right? The song.
Yeah, in the past, yeah.
Yeah, the song that somebody who knew him way better than I did got him to, he wrote it, all his words, and we may have given him the title. Baseball today, the Brewers lost 6-2 to Atlanta.
A team that lost 14 of 17 coming in,
and
seven in a row.
Yeah. But Atlanta was thought to be much better than they are, and so it's hard to make any assumptions about baseball over a short period. The Brewers simply seem to have trouble scoring periodically. And it is Game 3 tonight, NBA Finals.
We'll carry it right here at 94.5 ESPN 2, right after the weekly wager.
And I cannot guarantee you who will win, but I can guarantee you one thing for sure. The TV ratings will again be among the lowest in the last, 30 years?
So it happens that you got two small market clubs, even smaller than the Bucks and the Suns when they played each other.
Yeah, and I think if you walk down the street and ask people the star, who's the best player on either team, I'm not sure anybody would know. But they've earned it, and I will say in my life, both my parents are from the state of Oklahoma, one from Lawton and one from Tulsa. I would have never imagined that a team from Oklahoma would be a professional league champion in any sport. The only thing that ever existed in Oklahoma was University of Oklahoma football, and then maybe other sports if you want to add to that. But Oklahoma City, the champion of the NBA? I would say it's going to happen. Fisco Auto Body, it's a family business. Fisco Auto Body, everybody needs a auto body place, and you might as well have a really good one, and they are it. How can they be that good? How do I know they're that good? Because Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin, it's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. Yes, it is continued in further generations of the Fisco family, meaning that you have people doing the work that probably were doing it in diapers that many years ago. That's how it works in a family business when it remains that family, Fisco. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin, expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Fisco, 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 so you'll remember the name.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, who doesn't have much time, so I'm going to allow him to speak for an entire 8.5 minutes without me interrupting once, saying whatever is the most important things he has learned following the mini camp going on with the Green Bay Packers. Take it away, Jason.
No, you're not. You're not going to do that. I'm not that pressed for time. And by the way, what was it like when Fisco first opened in 1931? Did you take your first car there?
I did, yes, as a matter of fact.
You just
actually
got your driver's
license.
Well,
to tell you the truth, they were doing some horses back then, and I brought my horse in first before I actually did the car. They did both at the very beginning. They've always been one step ahead.
Well, to answer your question, I think a lot of attention, and rightfully so, because this is the time of year when you experiment, has been paid to Bo Melton, playing both ways. He did, he didn't want to make it sound like he was turning into Travis Hunter, the number two overall pick in the draft by Jacksonville, but he is embracing it, and he wanted to make clear that he's not switching from wide receiver to corner. He's doing both.
What?
And he is, he's doing both. Now, again, I don't know how much he'll actually play corner. They're low on numbers. They're missing a couple guys due to injury on top of it. So there's a couple of reasons why he's working there. But the bottom line is Matt LaFleur loves the guy. He said it yesterday. And so whether it's special teams, whether it's being a rotational wide receiver, or it's the coach coming and saying, hey, we're short at corner. We've always thought you could do this. We talked about it a couple of years ago. Do you want to give it a try? And him saying, sure, that's Bo Melton in a nutshell. Like, I'm at Sydney's summer league game for basketball, and I was just talking to Paula about Bo, because that's the kind of teammate you want your kid to be. That's the kind of player you want your kid to be.
Wait a minute, Jason. Agreeing to this for one reason and one reason only.
Because otherwise he's not going to be on the team potentially.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
No, because they're not really going to use him this way. And Bulaga reacted the same way, right? That this was, he's moving to corner.
But he's got zero chance of playing corner. But if somebody likes him and wants him on the team, they can sell it that he provides that as an additional item on his resume. And yes, if I was him, I'd agree to that. I'd agree to be the water boy if I had to.
No, he's a.
All right.
I mean, look, his greatest value is on special teams.
Right.
So, I mean, he has a job. I don't think it's a case where he's in danger of being released. I don't. Like, they added all these wide receivers, but I think that he's got a better than average chance of still being on the roster, even with the guys they've added.
Then like, why are they even bringing this up?
Because they don't have enough corners, for one. Like, they don't have enough to get through practice. Like,
this wide receiver, we're short of people. We're playing this guy in practice. I'll be the head coach. Yes, he's playing. We're short of cornerbacks, and he's playing it. But don't get any ideas. He's a wide receiver. We just need a little help right now. Don't blow this thing out of proportion.
I don't think. Right. So here's the thing. Because now what I was actually going to say before we started off and running on this was that's not the most important thing that's happening. But look what we've just done, right? How much have we talked about the questionable depth at corner? We mentioned it in passing, but we're more talking about Bo. How much did we talk about, you know, whether or not Jair Alexander? I mean, this all happened yesterday. Like, Goody was talking to us about Jair Alexander around the same time that we first saw Bo Melton work at corner. So it's an off-season story. And no, Matt LaFleur's not going to say, look, Bo's not going to play corner for us. Because the having this conversation changes the narrative, right? We're not talking about the other shortcomings at corner necessarily.
Yeah, but it's our job to say this is crap. Not a cornerback.
Yeah, I don't think it's crap,
right.
But I don't think
will he play the position at any point in this season?
No.
That, sir, is the definition of crap.
It's not. No. No, but the point my point is that while that and what I was going to get to before we then fell into that trap was this is getting a lot of oxygen. We talked to Bo today. It's a fun story. It's something different in the off season. But look, the things that matter here are things that, unfortunately, based on the way that off season practices work, it's really hard to get a gauge on. Like even LaFleur had a great opportunity today to say, look, Jordan's been awesome throughout the off season. Like he looks like he's elevated his game. He's really sharp. He's great on his decisions. But basically he said, you know, yeah, he's played as well as you can based on the constraints of the off-season program and the way you have to structure these practices. So, you know, I think it's more kind of there's not a lot to talk about. So Bo gets the conversation directed his way. And for the Packers, you know, the one thing they don't want to spend any more time talking about is, well, how are they going to be a corner, right? I mean, yes, Bo is moving there, and that's taking the oxygen. But, look, Nate Hobbs didn't practice today. I don't know what his injury is, but he didn't practice today. I saw, while I was standing outside, I saw Quay Walker roll by in one of those scooters that you have one functioning leg and you got one boot, so you got your knee on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that can't be good. He's got a big boot on his foot. Kalen King, I mentioned, has a broken arm. Like, Goody talked to us yesterday about how Goody feels about the three top corners. He thinks he's got three starters in Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, and Carrington Valentine. But the truth is, like, they didn't have Hobbs today, so it was Javon Bullard in the nickel. And then they got a bunch of guys who've never played before. Like, you're either going to have to play more of your safeties where you're pretty deep, or you're going to have to hope that a guy like Kamal Haddon, who I challenge most Packers fans
to tell me
who the heck he is.
Or it means this is all just utterly a waste of time. That the degree of meaningless of this workouts compared to what you remember years
I do believe that's true.
Okay.
I really do think that the way this is, you know, I said it to LaFleur because one of my favorite off-season program stories was when a handful of us, kind of like when Ron Wolf came to us and told us that he had effed up the pick of Joey Jameson in Tausch's draft. But he, at one point during a 2012 practice, Jeff Saturday, who was heavily involved with the NFLPA, turned to a cluster of us standing on the sideline watching and said, does that look like non-contact to you guys? You should write about that. And so there's been this ever since the 2011 CBA, and now even more so since the most recent one, I think in 2020, there is just this level of, you know, we don't want to do anything that violates the NFL's rules for off-season programs. So it is like it's at three-quarters speed all practice until the two-minute drill. That's it. Like I don't think if I was Matt LaFleur and I tried to get him to admit to this, it would be frustrating as heck to go through that. It's just the quality of work is not nearly what it could be. But again, these are the things that the players wanted to win on in the negotiations, as opposed to, I don't know, extended health care after their careers are over, getting more in exchange from the owners when they get that 18th game, better revenue share, all that kind of stuff. Instead, they got lighter off-season practices. So I don't think that helps teams that are full of young developmental people who need to improve. So that's what they've gone through. I will say this, Mecole Hardman You can take it for what it's worth, but the dude's had two big-time plays the last 2 days, including today. He caught a 75-yard touchdown. The defense thinks that Jordan Love was sacked on the play. The offense obviously disagrees, but it was a hell of a throw with a guy in his face, and it was a hell of a catch.
So what Hardman in the great world run. Could be his role? How do you think in a perfect world, how and how often would they use him?
So I don't even know if he's going to make the team. Like that's one of the reasons why like this is the right time to write a Mecole Hardman story from a writer's perspective, because there's a chance you won't be writing another one. So that's what I'm writing later today. But you know, if he's the return guy for them, he's not big like Bo or like Malik Heath. So he's not helpful to you in like return blocking or in kickoff or punt coverage. So I don't see him as being able to contribute there. He contributed with the Chiefs for several years as a receiver, but then the last several he's you know been nicked up.
He's
and
done
hasn't
nothing
been productive.
In 4 years.
Yeah. So I don't
three
like,
years.
I
actually.
Think like if you're telling me, okay, I can keep Mecole Hardman, who's caught a game winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. But can't give me anything on special teams. Or I can keep Bo Melton. I think you know who I'm going to pick. And I think I know who Goody would pick as well.
Well, I'll believe it unless I hear Hardman's also getting some time at cornerback. I don't see that coming.
Well, now would be the time to do it. He's got one more day.
All right. Am I wrong to think that I would have thought that Jair might have signed, or are there days involved that
No, I mean, look, there's been a couple of teams that, or there's been a couple of players that have been released in the last several months that it took them a few days. Okay. My inclination is to think a couple things. One, he's probably got a number of teams that are interested. They're going to want him to come and get a physical, and they want to figure out, you know, they want to talk to him, figure out if he's truly committed. So that's part of it. There's also the thing that maybe he's, you know, again, the fact that they were never willing, that Goody revealed this yesterday, that they were never willing for him to reduce his salary to stay, that they basically made it, like, either keep him at $16.15 million or he's not going to do anything and you'll have to cut him whenever you finally get around to it. The fact that they did that tells me that maybe he's got a higher opinion of his monetary value and he's going to keep shopping himself or heaven forbid, maybe even wait till training camp.
No, or he was mad at the way he was treated. He didn't want to play here anymore. That's what I believe. But
right. But what I'm saying is that, you know, again,
because that's stupid not to be willing to agree to, you know, you're supposed to be 16. Like, I won't take 12 with so much per game if I play. That's.
Yeah, my hope is to find out at some point if the Packers were going to keep him on a reduced salary, what was the amount that he was going to get versus what was he going to have to earn in incentives. And I don't know if I'll ever find that out because, again, Goody claims that they never actually made a true offer. So I don't know. All I know is that, you know, I think there'll be a market for him, but I am curious what he thinks his value is and what he's willing to sign for or if he's going to. Because the other option is you wait and you see if somebody loses a top corner to an injury early in, you know, camp, which starts in like July 22nd, and then suddenly, you know, your price goes up because the desperation goes up. And it would be him and Jalen Ramsey if the Dolphins cut Ramsey and can't find a trade partner. Those two guys would be on the market, and then if you have an injury, there'd be a fierce battle to figure out who you could get.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Willey, All Packers All the Time. Tim Benbor, not next, but very soon. Tim Van Voren coming up soon. This is incredible. How many different... I don't remember anything like this. Other than that, I'm still bummed. And the Institute go to work. Aaron Rodgers has been married for, what, 4 months? Is that what he said?
That's what he said, yeah.
And nobody knows who the woman is and no pictures of her. I stated last night, I don't believe in the history of famous people in the history of entertainment. I've never had any interest in calling TMZ. How do they not know? How does no one not have a picture of her? I don't believe in the history of entertainment anybody has been married of his magnitude for 4 months and nobody knows who the other person is. If there is such a story, let me know. Yes. I am obsessed by it, but in this case, it's not because it's Aaron Rodgers. I would say the same thing about Tom Brady. Pick a basketball player. Who's the most famous basketball player? Like, imagine Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's been married 4 months. Says, yeah, I've been married. Who's your wife? We don't know. We know it's Brittany with an I.
That's it.
That's not possible. I pick you up. It's the most amazing thing that Aaron Rodgers has ever done in his life. Be married for 4 months and have no one know who the person is. If the institute, you can prove that you know of another such case, let me know. Just like I said, Jackson Cheerio, getting so few walks, there has never been a great player as horrible at drawing walks as he has been. And I do want to thank Judge Frank, because Frank said, look up Roberto Clemente. And yes, Roberto Clemente at a young age was as horrible drawing walks as Jackson Cheerio. So, yes, there has been one player in the history of baseball to be as horrific as Cheerio continues to be this year and turned out to be a Hall of Fame player. There's one. I don't know that I can ever remember all the coaches that the Knicks have inquired about interviewing. Pebble, what are we at, like 10? And they've been turned down by everyone but one. I don't know if this is even true. The Bucks gave the Knicks permission to interview Doc Rivers, but New York declined. I don't believe that. What do you think, Pebble? I think that's
they
made
declined.
Up.
I think they would interview everybody.
Well, but no, right. But why would the Bucks give the Knicks permission to interview Doc Rivers?
Because they don't care if they lose him or not.
Well,
apparently.
No, but I mean, you don't say that. Hey, call the Knicks. Tell them they can have Doc. I believe that story is made up. But it just says breaking news. I don't buy it. I think it's made by someone who's a Bucks fan that doesn't think that Doc Rivers is that good. I'll ask Tim Van Vorn. I don't know.
Maybe he knows who Brittany is.
Yes, that's what I want to know. Yeah. We will. This will be the biggest breaking news if anybody can come up with who it is and or a picture of the spouse of Aaron Rodgers. And I stand by it. I had to correct myself on Jackson Cheerio. Roberto Clemente, so one. And I would do the same if someone could name a famous entertainer in any form of entertainment to mention he's been married to someone for 4 months and no one knows who it is or has a picture. Tim Van Vorn next.
The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Vorn on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 sports. I really want to ask him if he has seen or has seen a picture of the person that Aaron Rodgers is married to, because I've never heard of this or aware of anything in the history of my life following entertainment. Someone married to someone for 4 months and nobody has seen a picture or knows who the other person is. TVV, good evening. Do you agree with my premise of how rare this is in the entertainment business?
It is indeed rare, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is smirking as he goes home to his wife if she's, you know, in Latrobe, Pennsylvania tonight.
So a TMZ gets an F. I thought this is what they do. And I would ask Rodgers, if you didn't want anybody to know, why did you wear the ring, right? No one would even be asking.
Yeah, but if he's proud of being married, you show the commitment.
Then aren't you proud of introducing who your spouse is?
Has anyone asked who it is? No.
Oh, that's right? Not. Of course, people have asked who it is. You don't think anybody's asked who it is?
Well, yes, but I'm saying, is there an interview where he says I'm not telling you? I don't think so.
So you don't think anybody's asked who is she?
Oh, I'm sure the curiosity factor is off the charts, which is why Aaron Rodgers is enjoying it completely.
All right, let's go to more important things, the Packers. What do you want to pass along as the most important thing from the minicamp?
You know, when you see all those guys out there together, you know what the Packers have this year? A really big offensive line. Mm. You know, I'm looking for more innovation offensively, Homer, and you and I have talked about this. I thought last year the Packers successfully transitioned to having Josh Jacobs and a run-oriented offense that these coaches had never dealt with before, which was fine, but the trade-off was they lost innovation. I would like to see innovation just in watching the Packers this year offensively. I think it would serve them well. I'd put in a package of plays for Malik Willis. I would put in some things for these other wide receivers. But if everything else fails, I do think you can give the ball to Josh Jacobs behind these maulers up front, and that's going to be part of their offense as well.
So we know who the left tackle is going to be, right?
I think Walker.
Yeah. And all we're deciding is he going to be a center or is he going to still play guard as far as Jenkins, right, or not?
And who's your right guard, Morgan?
Ryan.
Ryan? Either one's big.
Yeah. I don't see Morgan as in the starting lineup. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think that's the battle. You know, I don't think Morgan unseats Rashid Walker at left tackle.
Correct.
I think Morgan versus Ryan at right guard is a battle. I think Jenkins will be the center. Zach Tom is not a monster man, but he's the best of those offensive linemen we've named, and he'll be your right tackle. And he'll probably have a contract extension when the season starts. So that's what strikes me from minicamp. We haven't talked that much about it. We do all these other stories. We look at all these other things. But if you look at the size they have out there, it's noticeable.
Which you think is that's what Goody wanted because it would allow them to do what that they couldn't do last year?
I think it would allow them to lean on those guys and Josh Jacobs and, you know, maybe Marshawn Lloyd or Emmanuel Wilson or whoever else needs to be when everything else shuts down. But I do think the offense was too one-dimensional last year in just Josh Jacobs. Maybe that was Jordan Love's health. Maybe it was, you know, what they were calling. I think it would behoove the Packers to come up with more offensively. Again, what was their trickery last year? What was their element of surprise? That one play where Jordan Love spins around and hands it to Josh Jacobs up the middle, that worked a couple times early in the year. And Tucker Kraft taking a snap from center and gaining 2 yards. What else did they really do that struck you as, offensively?
I would say nothing, but I don't know that LaFleur, I would say that's not his mode. Am I wrong? Did he do stuff in previous years, or?
Wasn't he always trying to find the catchy guy, the Tyler Irvin, the, Jaden Reed in the backfield? They were always trying different things.
Okay.
So I think it is his mode. I think it was his mode. I think that last year he consciously went to, I'm going to have a bellwether running back for the first time ever, and I'm going to give him a chance. And it did work. But what was, I don't know, Chris, maybe Chris can look at, what was Josh Jacobs' yards per carry average? You know, they leaned on him a lot. He got a lot of yards. He carried the ball a ton.
I'm going to go 4.1. You think that's too high?
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
It was 4.4.
4.4. Okay. That's good.
Okay. Yeah, well, what was Aaron Jones? I mean, I think they made the right move in
about
going away. No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I'd say higher.
I think, but he carried it many fewer times, right?
No, yeah, for sure. Josh Jacobs very effective. Nothing wrong with Josh Jacobs at all. But 4 point, if the
it was
best
4.5 Aaron Jones.
Okay. Yeah, if the best thing you can do offensively is gain 4 yards every play, okay. I mean, that's something, but you need to do more than that, in my mind, to keep up in this division.
What do you want to add about Jair Alexander being gone?
Ultimately inevitable. And I would say this. I don't know if I haven't heard that much about this. He's missed all these games in the last 4 years with injury, okay?
Right.
And what I've heard about that is, so you can't pay him this amount of money because he's not available. I would agree with that. But I would say beyond that, if you're hurt four straight years, you're not the same player you were 4 years ago. You're a diminished player. That's attrition. That's what happens. If you're hurt four straight years, that shows up at some point. So I think that that was part of the decision-making process, too, for the Green Bay Packers.
Is there anything other than that that hasn't been said that needs to be added, or is it just let's move on?
I think it's let's move on. It's pro football. You're moving on from somebody every year. I actually liked Jair Alexander. Enjoyed his company. Enjoyed
what'd you like
interacting
about
with him. His personality.
Oh, okay.
Come on. You know, not bland in any way, shape, or form. You didn't always know what you were getting. You know, I genuinely enjoyed him being around and just kind of smirking at the Jair show half the time. You know, just kind of chuckling at what
all right, now I have a question for you. Will he do anything the rest of his career that will make legitimate people say Packers should have kept him?
I think he will make sporadic good plays on a successful team, and then it's up to someone to determine would it have been worth that in Green Bay or not. I do not think his days, I will say this, I think his days as a consistent shutdown cornerback are in the past. But I do think he's talented enough that he will make plays on a good team, and maybe those will be timely plays and critical plays that would have aided Green Bay. Here's what the proof will be in the pudding on Jair Alexander or whoever. And again, I think that Jair Alexander through injury would be a diminished player. If the Packers can't stop people with their cornerback crew this year, whoever that is, would you run against them at all? No. If you have Justin Jefferson or you have Amon St. Brown and you have Rome Odunze and you're going to play the Packers twice a year and they're weak at cornerback, you are going to pounce on that weakness every game, unless the Packers can, you know, keep their quarterback from having enough time to make that throw. Otherwise, he's going to pick either side with some very sharp offensive coaches in this division and pick on the Packers. The Packers, you know, Brian Gutekunst says he feels really good about this group. The Packers have to feel really, it has to be really good, no matter how they feel. It has to be really good for them to be able to get past this departure of Jair Alexander, even though I think Alexander's a diminished player through health.
I think their answer is we believe we will get better pressure, our front seven will be better, and that will make it easier on our corners, and that is more important than the corners play. Am I making that
up? And I think that would be right, but does that require Trey Hendrickson, or do you think that talent for the pass rushes on the roster?
Well, that's what I would ask the Tim Van Vorn Scouting Bureau.
Yeah,
I think the biggest part of that is Cooper as being someone who could do that, but you may have others that you think are capable of doing what I suggest solves the cornerback problem. Anybody else other than Cooper?
I think they believe in Enigbari. I think they believe in Jeff Hafley. I think they believe in, you know, Gary to a degree. I think they believe in Van Ness being better. But you better be really good if your cornerbacks are suspect. I'm not saying they are. It's if they're suspect. If they're suspect, you better be really good at pressuring quarterbacks.
Now, you said all those people believe in pressuring quarterbacks. I don't care about them. I care about you. Do you believe all those things you just said that they believe?
In terms of will they be better?
I'll take that as a no.
I'm saying wait and see on that.
Yeah, I know. That pause, that is a very, very well-known and understood pause by Tim Van Vorn. Always a treat. Right now, 94% say that Giannis will play for the Bucks next season. Is that a record for the highest percentage you've ever had? Might be.
Put me down with the majority.
Yes. Thanks, TVV.
See ya, Homer.
Let's check the numbers. Heading to Pottawatomie next.